Morning. Good morning, everyone. Let's see if that disappears. Hey, good morning, everyone. Good to see you on this morning. A little bit late this morning. It's been a bit of a slow start up here in the Gold Coast. Damn rain. Raining. Can't stand it. Anyway, hopefully the internet holds out. I don't know if you guys know, but every now and then when it rains, the internet for some reason plays up at my place. But we made it. We're here this morning. Welcome to Wealth Coffee Chat. Good to see a few of you up and at it already, which is excellent, which is awesome. Got Brad in the house. How are you, mate? Good to see you. Jeff's here as well. Oh, there you go. That's awesome, mate. Yeah, who'd have thought, hey? Bitcoin, up and at it. Up and at it. Interesting times. Turn the aircon on, make this happen. Yeah, Jeff, good old Bitcoin. Well, it's an interesting one, isn't it? I was thinking about that actually this morning, about Warren Buffett. Didn't understand Facebook, didn't understand the internet, didn't understand Bitcoin, didn't buy them. Still a rich fellow, but there you go. Hopefully, hopefully that stuff gets its mojo on and settles into something we can understand and participate in one way, shape, or form. But good stuff, mate. Good to see that a couple of things going your way. Fritz is in the house as well. Morning, mate. Good to see you. And Stephen's there. Stephen, good morning. Alex. A few of the regular crew, but if you're brand new, folks, welcome, welcome, welcome. Good to see you here. If you didn't already know, most of you do know, though, Jason Witten is my name. There you go. What do? Each day we get together, we have a chat, a wealth coffee chat, matter of fact, around about 10 past 8, and we talk about a few things that are going on out there in the marketplace. And one of the things at this moment in time, folks, is we have the largest gap income mortgage to house price ratio in Australian history. Australian history. Wow. What does that mean? What does that mean, ladies and gents? Well, there's a lot of things to sort of read into that. And we might have a little conversation, a little bit of pontification on what that might mean to us as property investors, what it might mean to the market, and so on today. So, that's what we're going to catch up and have a conversation, a talk, a bit of a wealth coffee chat about. What will it do? What do we need to understand as property investors in and around this information? What is the go in the marketplace with this sort of thing? So let's have a bit of a look here. Bit of a interesting chart. I've seen a few different versions of this. However, the gist of it, the basics right now, folks, is, you know, back in 08, right, 08, where some of our, we had a GFC, we had a some higher interest rates, ladies and gents, back in my day, the gap between the median house price and the ability for you or me as borrowers, as buyers to pay for that was whatever size it was there, you know, you know, the house price was 400 and the average loan was 300 and it was a pretty big gap, team, pretty big gap. So, you know, that's pretty, pretty massive. What happens? We adjust the interest rates, things level out and, you know, income to mortgage to house price ratios, whoever tinkers with the dollars and cents out there, helps do that, obviously. Morning, Stephen. Good to see you. And so right now we are seeing, folks, this gap be rather large, rather massive, close to double, two times. If you want to get dramatic like the newspapers, 200% more than ever, you know, the largest gap in history. I try and write a few headlines to get your attention to come along to the coffee chats. However, this is a fact right now, you know, the average Aussie wage to the average Aussie house price or, you know, the total market value, the gap is large. The gap in the ability for you to borrow is pretty massive. You know, this is an interesting one. I've got about 150 team members, team and talent that work for me across a number of different businesses in Australia and New Zealand. And a young professional that works for me, they earn good money, you know, well in the mid hundreds. And they're trying to buy a house right now to live in. Their ability to borrow by themselves, so this is challenging for individuals, you know, is limited to 500,000. 500,000. And where they want to live, they're not going to get a $500,000 house. What's the alternative? What's the alternative? What happens? Well, let's talk about that. What's on the agenda? What can happen? Well, we've seen this. I'm sure there's a better one floating around, but I couldn't find the damn thing this morning. That's why I was a little bit late. I was trying to find it, but, you know. But we've had the fastest interest rate rises. I think we're up at like 4.75 now. So we've had the fastest interest rate rises or cash rate rises we've seen in a long, long time. Well, actually, ever. I love this. So when we go, oh, there's a record here, there's a record there. There's some crazy records going on, folks, out there in the economic world, and you pay attention. Some of them mean something, some of them don't. All of them are interesting to look at and see if they might affect us as property investors. But we had the fastest rate rises in history, 4.35. There you go, Jeff. It shows how much I've been paying attention in the last little bit. I've had a good holiday. So there you go. So, you know, we're at a certain amount, and it seems that it's not going to go any higher at this moment in time, which is great news. That might level out right now. So, you know, what does that mean? Well, the home value, and this is minus the apartments, folks, interesting to look at as well. What is happening out there? The market, the national average, you know, close to 770. But if you look across the combined capitals, you know, the capitals are close to 850. And then you look, you know, 850, who's in the running? You know, the Sydney is pushing it up there. You got Canberra, and you got a few that are behind. You know, Darwin and Hobart, you know, both markets I don't understand. Hobart's gone really well. It's a lifestyle market, really. Very, very, very constrained in supply. So there you go. But Perth, we get. Adelaide is coming strong. Get that. Get that, folks. Adelaide average house price more than Perth. And get this, folks, where is the, what in income? So who's ranked in income here, average income across the country? Let's do average income across the five big cities. The five big cities, folks. Let's do average income across Perth, Adelaide, Brisbane, Melbourne, Sydney. Who's number one? Who's number one in income in the country? Average income, which means the average income. You should see an higher average house price or something like that. This is not perfect science, by the way, but it's interesting to talk through. Where's the highest income in the country, folks? Many of you might know this. If you don't, where's number one and two, the highest incomes? Perth is number two, folks. Perth is number two. But you know what? The politicians look after themselves, don't they? Yeah. Jeff is on it. Hey, Canberra. Canberra. Right, there you go. Canberra and Perth. All right, there you go. You know, it's an interesting one. Then Sid, then Melbs, and then Brizzy, right? But it's interesting that when we look at this stuff, you know, Canberra Canberra's over here. Undo that one. So Canberra is there. Okay, Canberra's there. Makes sense. Perth. All right, well, Perth got a high income, lower median house price. Adelaide, you know, let's have a look at that. Adelaide's not even on the bloody radar, folks, when you have a look at the top five. But there you go. So you got Sydney, makes sense. Melbourne, bit cheap for the money, and Brizzy, whatever. So it's interesting to look at. Okay, what's going on? Incomes versus house price. We know that there's a massive undersupply, right? There's a massive undersupply. What are we seeing? What's going on? What can we understand as property investors? You know, how do we take advantage of this? Well, I pulled a chart from, 2018. The gap between houses and apartments, the median pricing, is an interesting indicator right now. So, back in 2018, the gap was, let's call it, I mean, it's pretty difficult to sort of see this, but, the gap might have been, $100,000 or $80,000 or something like that. So a premium back in the day, not too huge when, and you'd expect that, right? You'd expect the average median house price to be a bit more than the median unit value. What's happened in recent times? Let's have a bit of a look at this. In 2021, the premium between units and houses across the whole country, and I've got a bunch of other stuff here, different cities had far larger premiums. You would think in places like Sydney and Melbourne, the premiums are higher, and that is true. And same with places like Canberra and other places. But 30%, the gap between the premium between apartments and houses now was 30% in 2021. 2021, folks, So what's happened in recent times? Well, that gap's widened. It's gotten further and further apart for a bunch of good reasons. But tell me, what do you reckon? It's a record, folks. It's a record. Tell me, what's the percentage right now? Yeah, some of you might know. Put it in the chat. The gap, the combined premium, median house price difference between a house and a unit now across the country. Largest in history. We're breaking records everywhere, folks. Breaking records everywhere. We've got the largest affordability gap. We've got the largest premium gap. We've got the lowest vacancy rates in history. You name it. There's records and headwinds, depending on who you are, which side of the fence you're on, whether you're a renter, whether you're a buyer, who knows where you sit. But there is some challenges. What do you reckon? Chuck a percentage in there for me. Anyone want to have a guess? It was 30% in 2020, 2021. Now, what is the percentage? Well, folks, it's 45%. 45%. The premium in the world of houses broke rank in the normalized trajectory of growth. It broke rank and it's done something pretty crazy amazing. Why? Well, I can tell you why. I think that's happened is because the Australian marketplace has done two things. And I was doing this yesterday. I was showing you guys yesterday. The supply of houses has stayed, the number of houses produced and given to the market has stayed exactly the same. Not exactly. I mean, that's not accurate. Very roughly the same within a small band of tens of thousands. The same for bloody years, 30, 40 years. Ludicrous, right? The population has expanded and the number of houses produced and given to the market has, as a percentage, decreased significantly. All right. What has increased? Well, medium density, high density, more apartments being built. So more supply, ladies and gents, more supply equals less pressure on prices. Very straightforward and simple as a first layer of conversation. Then there's plenty of other layers of conversation, convenience, wages and all, lending, access to credit, blah, 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 blah. But anyway, there you go. So pretty understandable. You would think that house prices would be more than apartment prices, that's for sure. But, let's call it close to 50%, folks. And in March 2020, it was like 20%. So it has increased significantly for us in the marketplace. So what does that mean? Well, first things first, we have a look at the average purchase price and the rentals. What often leads some indication of what's going to happen in our values in properties is what happens to the rents. We had house growth, house rents do quite well. But if you have a look over here, you know, the apartment rents have gone up, have beaten pretty well the market across the board. Perth, more than the houses. Brisbane, more than the houses. Sydney, more than the houses. Melbourne, not the houses, have ticked, beaten there just slightly. Adelaide, more than the houses. You know, Darwin wins with houses. Canberra, up in units, a little bit down in houses, and same with Hobart, right? So it's interesting to see what's going on. And you guys know, I think I haven't got anything else. You guys know what the supply chain is like out there. If you're regular to the Wealth Coffee Chats, you can see the market really struggling to supply enough stuff, right? So what does it all mean? Let's bring this Wealth Coffee Chat together this morning. Well, the gap between houses and apartments or units is significant. While the interest rates stay up, you know, around the sevens, it's going to put more pressure on things that are more affordable for the marketplace. That's what's going to happen. There's going to be more pressure on the more affordable things than the premium things, okay? Now, Sam talked about this the other day. He's calling it the flight to affordability, and what's called the cost push growth. I might do that tomorrow. Cost push. The increase in the expense to deliver a piece of real estate to the market for the market has risen drastically, and against the average median price, there's going to be some new benchmarks set into the future. And those benchmarks, folks, are going to land in which asset class or which type of property. Where's the new benchmark going to sit, ladies and gents? The most expense has risen in which type of property to deliver the market, ladies and gents, which I believe that will then reset the median price or the median price of this type of property, and we'll probably do some other things too. But anyway, I'm a bit over time today, so I'll do it. So the apartment space has risen the most in expense in the last couple of years compared to the housing pricing. So in the next 3 to 5 years, you're going to see apartment prices, you know, significantly more than they were 2 years ago, not because of underlying supply and demand, which will be putting pressures there, but the cost to deliver those projects are demanding that the end pricing be a certain number. There'll be a reason why a lot of projects don't get off the ground. You know, the cost of a two-bedroom unit, you know, is, you know, the same price as a new four-bedroom house. If you want to be 35K from the city in certain circumstances, you can get a house instead of an apartment. A lot of these conversations going to happen for us, folks. So when you buy an apartment, more than ever, the quality of that thing needs to be, you know, rigidige. Anyway, you get the point, right? The largest gap in Australian history when it comes to the pricing of our real estate between our houses and units. Yeah, there's a lot going on out there. And for you and me as investors, we need to make sure we're across it, understanding it. Anyway, that's it from me today. Wealth Coffee Chat done and dusted. Hopefully there was some interesting conversation in there. Few little tidbits to take away, folks. Certainly some pressures coming, I think, on apartments for whatever reasons. Houses might be a little bit out of reach of people's budgets for the moment. So there you go. Anyway, all right, folks, that's it from me. Good to see you. Thanks for popping by, joining, and join me tomorrow for another one. As you know, we do it each weekday. If we can make that work, let's do that. All right, folks, that's it. Take care. You guys know the drill. Buy well, don't sell. That's what I say. Till tomorrow. Be good. See you, folks.